a paid advertisement. The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was going to bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Slots!
King of Crash!
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan. Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery can't be with us today, so it's just me, Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. You can give us a call at 312-332-3776. If you think you have an item that might be valuable, give us a call. We'll try to give you an idea if it's worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction or what the value might be. And we have a interesting Cub prize today. It's another Chris Bryant bobblehead we're giving away to one caller, or if you tweet a picture of an item to at @TCrownTom is my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing. I've got the list randomizer going here, and at the end of the show, I'll randomize the top one on the list. We'll get the prize. The winner will have to email Vince at ERC Delivery by Thursday, and ERC Delivery will deliver it right to you free of charge. So the number's 312-332-3776. Bill, I don't know if you're still watching baseball now that the nasty Nats are out. That had to have been a disappointment. But last night during the Cubs game, I thought maybe their manager, Joe Maddon, had maybe blown it by pulling John Lester in the sixth inning for a pinch hitter with two outs and a man on second. He had only thrown 77 pitches, and then they got into their bullpen early, and it ended up getting tied, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, and then Montero hits a monster grand slam, and the Cubs still pulled it out, maybe saving Maddon from some goat's horns there. Are you still watching games?
We're doing a show in Chantilly, Virginia this weekend, and a bunch of the guys were at the bar last night watching the game and everything. I mean, ladies, we had a great managerial and third base coach screw up in the game where the guy sent Worth on a play that, gosh,
no chance.
I don't know if cool Papa Bell could have scored on that.
Yeah, right. They really haunt you in the playoffs, those type of things, don't they? It's like, oh, my God. Usually for me, when a Chicago team gets knocked out of the playoffs, I have trouble getting interested enough to watch them. But last night's game was a little slow-moving, but very entertaining game, actually. It could be an exciting series. I think the Cubs have a really good shot at actually making it to the World Series, so we'll see what happens. But now the Huggins
are throwing Kershaw again tonight.
Kershaw's going today. He pitched in relief. What was that, Thursday?
I think he wants to pitch every day.
Yeah, I think he'd like to. He had a herniated disc and missed a couple of months, so I guess that's feeling good now for him. But that'll be interesting to see how he does. His playoff pitching hasn't been great. Maybe getting that save to get him into this round will be what, gets his confidence going. But we'll see how healthy he is and how it does. Should be another interesting game tonight at 7. It was pouring rain this morning in Chicago, but it's supposed to clear up and actually, I think, be a really nice night tonight. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, it was really pouring today. Okay, now the Huggins and Scott October-November auction. Bidding begins October 31st, goes through November 10th. You can go to HugginsandScott.com. We'll be mixing in some of the items that are already up on their website. You guys have added, we missed the week last week since 2 weeks ago. You guys have added a ton of great stuff that's going to be in that auction.
We're doing the show in Chantilly this weekend, and the promoters of the show asked me, they said, do you have any items that are in your upcoming auction that if we could promote them, and some day people will come and they want their picture taken with them. So we had two items.
Oh.
One is the Babe Ruth bat, and the other is the 86 Fleer box. And between Friday and yesterday, I'll bet you we had 20 or more people come and say, is this where I come to get my picture taken with the bat? And they're holding the box of 86 Fleers. So, yeah.
So the show promoters wanted to put that on their site?
Put it, I guess, on their advertising or something. That,
oh.
Scott will be there, and I guess they'll have a Babe Ruth bat and a 86 Fleer wax box. Now, the Babe Ruth bat's beating the 86 Fleer box as far as who wants to have their picture taken.
So that's a Babe Ruth model bat, but not necessarily game used. Is that what it is?
Oh,
it's a cool looking bat.
It was ordered by Ruth for the opening of Yankee Stadium when the house that Ruth built opened in 1923. He ordered either four or six of these specially cork handled bats, which is documented everywhere, and this is one of them.
Wow.
However, the John Tobby, who does the bat authentication for us, he says, Bill, this is definitely one of those four bats or six bats. However, I just can't put it in his hand that day.
Yeah.
But based on the grainy photos there are, you know, did he use this one? Did he use another one? But it is certainly ordered and delivered by Pony Express or whatever it was to get them there that day. So he had them. So.
And they were to the specifications of what he used. So.
It's got the right length, the right weight, the right markings, everything.
Didn't he have almost a 40-ounce bat? Were you able to handle this one? Is it a really heavy bat?
It's noticeably heavy. However, I think they allow for a certain amount of water weight or whatever to evaporate over the years. So, and it certainly, John said, consistent with maybe it weighs 39.2 ounces instead of 40 or whatever.
Yeah, right, yeah. Wow, that'll be interesting to see what that does. Another thing you've got going that'll be interesting, a 1954 Topps baseball 6-card unopened 5-cent wax pack with a $1,000 minimum bid. One pack from 1954 Topps baseball. And you think of some of the stuff, you get a Banks rookie in there or a Aaron rookie or whatever. That should be interesting to see what that does.
Oh, sure. I don't know that we've ever had one of those.
1954 Tops. Yeah, we had that story about 10 years ago where somebody had found a bunch of unopened boxes of 1954 Tops baseball packs under the floorboards in their kitchen when they were remodeling their older house. And they opened like a box and a half and they started getting doubles. You know, they were getting beautiful cards, but they started getting doubles. And they're like, yeah, we better call that radio show and see what we should do with these. They ended up auctioning the rest of the boxes. And at the time, this was 10 years ago, they got something like they probably averaged on four or five boxes, like $85,000 a box at the time. I'm sure those would be more than that now, you would think. This will be interesting to see just what one pack does.
Oh, I'm sure shortly after that, Vince dug up the floorboards in his kitchen, right?
Yeah, that's probably where he is right now. He's in his kitchen digging up the floorboards. Yeah, right. Looking for any type of packs. There's got to be something there. And if he finds them.
Surprise!
I was telling Vince this week that I had this like dream, or I was just falling asleep and I, for some reason, Gomer Pyle saying, surprise, 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 would fit in really well on our show. Because a lot of times people are surprised by, you know, the pricing and stuff. And Eric found it this morning, got it on there. Way to go, Eric. So we've got that. The board is just keeps expanding with dumb comments and quotes. So, all right. Now, also on the Huggins and Scott October-November auction, we've got also from 1954. There's a lot of unusual sets that you can find from the 50s. This one has kind of it's only 33 cards, the 1954 Red Heart dog food set of 33 cards. Mid-grade, most of them look like they were in excellent, roughly average condition. But it's got Mickey Mantle, Spahn, Duke Snider, Stan Musial, Ralph Kiner. Any set from the 50s that has Mickey Mantle in it, that's a good set.
Oh, yeah. No, and the Red Hearts are just, it's such a very popular set. They're so very colorful and well done and, you know.
Yeah,
you always find them a lot of times in nice condition. I just wonder how, there's no way that these things were stuck into a bag of dog food.
Yeah, I wonder how they were, how they did come. That would be interesting to see that. That's like you had those, what kind of bread was that where they had the, I think that was from 1952 where they had the stickers on the bread. What kind of bread was that?
Oh, the bread labels, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, those were. Those are pretty cool, too. A lot of unusual stuff from the 50s that runs for some really good money. I don't know what made me think of this. And actually, the Bulls supposedly are rumored to be trading Tony Snell to the Bucks for Michael Carter-Williams, which Michael Carter-Williams can't shoot, but he's long and he can defend and pass and rebound. And Tony Snell, to me, probably wasn't going to play much for the Bulls. He seems to be getting a little worse every year. So if they make that deal, I mean, I don't know how much Michael Carter-Williams will even play for the Bulls, but you got to make that trade. But what made me think of it, a guy was in yesterday who said last year he was at a Bulls game and with some friends, and they had a thing before the game where you could sign up to, I don't know what he was signing up for, but if you signed up for it, you'd be in a drawing to shoot free throws with a chance to win a car. And he told me how the deal worked. Is they contacted him in the third quarter, and they went to, I guess, all his friends, and who wants to do it? They picked him. You be the guy to shoot because he had the most basketball experience of the group. So they take him down. He gets a Bulls jersey on. In between the third and the fourth quarter, they sent him out to shoot free throws. If he made three in a row, he only had 24 seconds to shoot free throws. If he made three in a row, he won a car, I guess.
Wow.
He said he missed his first one. Then I think he made one, missed one, then made two. And so he made three total. They gave him $300 for each free throw that he made. I don't know if it's because he made three, but they weren't in a row. Then they let him move to half court and try to make a half court shot. If he had made it, he would have won the car that they had parked in the United Center lobby, I guess. And he said he airballed the 3-point shot and the crowd booed him. Here he makes three free throws, wins $300, but his last memory is getting booed off the court for missing the half court shot. That's a classic fan story.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Pretty cool. At least he made some, though. That'd be kind of fun to see what you could do under that. You know, it'd be, you're obviously sitting around for a while or you're tight. It'd be interesting to see how you could do in a situation like that. I think, hey, you make three, you win $900. That's not bad in itself.
Oh, I would say that's the top 10% of the people could do
yes,
that. Yes,
yeah. I agree. Most of them would be airballing the free throws rather than the half court shots. All right, the number here is 312-332-3776. If the Cub fans are waking up after that big game last night, give us a call if you have a question about the value of an item. We're giving away a Chris Bryant bobblehead on my T-Crown Tom Twitter ID. I put a picture of it, and a pretty nice bobblehead. I mean, I can't even imagine how expensive some of this Cubs stuff is going to be if the Cubs actually win the World Series this year. Your auction bill now, the October-November Huggins and Scott auction, with the bidding beginning October 31st and going through November 10th, if the Cubs do win, there's a lot of Cubs stuff in that auction. It'll be interesting to see how some of that stuff does.
Oh, sure. Everybody follows the winner.
That's for sure. And when it's been this long, it's like, this team is so much different, though, because they've had so many things that'll happen, and you think, oh, boy, here we go. But then they'll come right back and do something. Like, you know, they fell behind to the Giants, and then they have the big rally in the ninth inning. They blow the lead against the Dodgers last night, and then with two outs, you get a Grand Slam homer from Miguel Montero. I mean, they always seem to have somebody coming through for them, which is what you always hear from the really good teams, the teams that are winning a lot. It's always a different guy. You never it's not all on one guy to come through. It's the whole team does it, and they seem to be doing that.
Yeah, well, that's usually the recipe for success.
It is. So now you can also tweet a picture of an item. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. If you bring in items to Triple Crown in Naperville during the week, we're coming up to a break here, so I'll wait till after the break. But people bring in a lot of neat stuff. I've got a couple that I want to talk about, a couple items there. And then after the break, we'll be talking about more of the items in the upcoming Huggins and Scott auction. The number here is 312-332-3776, and the prize is a Chris Bryant bobblehead. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. Vince Clementi from ERC Delivery couldn't make it today. Vince got a new nickname this week, too, Bill. He's the randomizer now. That's his nickname, the randomizer. But this week I'm going to be using the randomizer to put in the names of the people that call in or tweet a picture of an item, and we use it on the show. In the drawing for the Chris Bryant bobblehead, we've got a couple people waiting here now on the line, but I wanted to get to this first. I tweeted a picture of this. This was kind of neat. I like going through all the different Huggins and Scott auction items as they come up, and there's so many neat things and all the history there. This was really cool. It was kind of a beat-up 1934 MLB second-ever All-Star Game program and a ticket stub. That was the game where Carl Hubble had five consecutive strikeouts of future Hall of Famers, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, Al Simmons, and Joe Cronin. And this was scored. So you could see from back at the time where he put the K's in there for those. And there's something about that. I just thought that was just really cool. You know, you capture the real feel of being at the game from seeing that. Are you kind of like that too, or am I kind of goofy with that?
No, that was the first thing I looked at when he brought that item in, was the score. So
yeah, that really was neat. So we will see how that does. We'll be following along on all the items. Here is Mike from Highland, Indiana, is on the line. What do you have there, Mike?
Hi. My father had passed away a couple years ago. When cleaning out his house, I found a bunch of memorabilia, baseball, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, I believe I'm not too familiar with baseball, but Sandy Koufax and Mark McGuire cards and pitchers. And my problem is that they were authenticated, but when researching online, they were authenticated by companies that were banned on eBay, so I guess they're not reputable.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out where I could take this to get them rechecked.
So these are signed photos.
Yes. Like I said, they're big photos too. Like the Joe DiMaggio is probably like about 10x8 or something like that. And their Mark McGuire is like a small, almost a little bit bigger than a regular baseball card, but they're black and white photos except for the Mark McGuire, but they're really, they're nice. They're in great condition, but like I said, they're just, authenticated by the wrong people.
Well, Bill, why don't you explain to him, if he wanted to auction them with you, how you would get them authenticated for him first?
Yeah, Mike. I mean, if it's something you're looking to sell, we can get these things authenticated for you by JSA, because the large majority of the authenticating for our company. If it's something you wanted to just keep for yourself, you could submit the stuff to JSA. They're out of Parsippany, New Jersey, and you would just need to contact them and package the stuff up securely. Sometimes they're also going to be at the Rosemont show in the weekend before Thanksgiving in Chicago. You could bring the items there, and they'd authenticate them for you on the spot. So it's just a matter of, like I was saying, Mike, if you want to keep the items, you're going to need to get them authenticated. If you want, if you'd be interested in us selling them for you, we can have it done for you at a probably significantly less rate. But the caveat is, if they do authenticate, they have to go in the aux.
Okay, so if I wanted to, like, I have no desire to keep them. It's not that they're not nice. It's just, I just don't have no desire. So if I wanted to sell them, then I could bring them to you and go that way, you're saying.
Yeah, I'll be at the show in Rosemont that last weekend before Thanksgiving. If you wanted to bring them there, find me at the show. I'll have my booth set up. If you wanted to bring the items to me, I could certainly fill out the paperwork with you at that time and get them to the authenticators, and then I get back to you and let you know the results, and we kind of finalize the game plan at that point.
Okay, so that show in Rosemont, do you know what week it is, the last week or the first week? Or
it's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Okay. I'll try to make it
19th, 20th, something like that, whatever that weekend is, the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Okay, and the name of your booth would be what again? I'm sorry.
It would be Huggins and Scott Auction.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks for the call,
and
Mike.
My name's Bill Huggins. I'll be there.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks for the call. The number here is 312-332-3776. If you have an item similar to that, you think it might be worth putting in an auction, you can give us a call, or you can tweet a picture of an item. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. If you bring an item into Triple Crown in Naperville, my shop, and I take pictures of it and tweet the pictures and we use that on the show, you also get into the drawing. For instance, Mark from Winfield was in this week, and I tweeted these earlier in the week, I think on October 8th. He had a kind of a cool ball. It was a National League baseball signed by Gabby Hartnett, Charlie Grimm, and Charlie Root, all former Cubs players, and it was dated June 20th, 1927, which is kind of neat. I like it when they have on the old stuff and it's dated like that. On that day, the Pirates beat the Cubs 4-0. It was a Thursday game. Charlie Grimm was 2-for-3. Gabby Hartnett didn't play that day. Charlie Root, of course, is the guy who gave up the called shot, the supposed called shot by Babe Ruth in what was that, the 1932 World Series. And in 1927, Charlie Root was 26-15. I didn't realize he was this good of a pitcher. He pitched 309 innings and a 1.337 whip, so that wasn't a great whip, but I mean, 309 innings pitched in a 26-15 record for, I think the Cubs were a little over 500 that year. Not bad. He was a pretty good pitcher. I think
What type of a contract does that get him today?
Oh my gosh! Can you imagine if anybody pitching over 300 innings? That's where you could see last night when Madden pulled Lester. Lester was heated. He's got that kind of the more old fashioned where, you know, he's not one of those pitchers that he pitches six innings and he thinks, okay, my night's done. He had only thrown 77 pitches. He wanted to keep pitching, and he was just glaring over at Madden. He really looked heated, and it looked like it was coming back to haunt him when they tied up the game. They had to use up all these relief pitchers. If that had gone into extra innings, he'd already used up Montgomery. Chapman would have been used up. He just had to bring everybody in a little earlier. I'm sure he has confidence in his bullpen, and that's what he's going to say. But, I mean, if you've only got 77 pitches, you're good for at least one more inning, probably a couple more innings very easily if you're kind of cruising through them. So that's the type of thing. You never know how that's going to affect things, but the Cubs, this year's Cubs, just seem to – anything like that happens, they seem to roll right through it anyway. Superman Todd sent a picture. I think this might be $5,000 to $8,000 for these, Bill. He's got Steph Curry game worn shoes from a January 2016 game versus the Bulls. I don't know if you've run any Steph Curry shoes, but
I don't think we have.
Yeah, I think that's I think I've seen them sell for over $5,000 when you know, if they're verified that they actually are game worn shoes. So that's a pretty good item there by Superman Todd. And another item that was brought into Triple Crown the last couple of weeks, Phyllis from Naperville had kind of a neat item. It was a Walter Johnson statue, about 12 and a half inches tall, weighed 6 pounds. I guess these were originally on like a Wilson, it was in a Wilson baseball award or something, and they had, it wasn't on that original base, it was on a different base, and the arm had been repaired, but it had on the back of the statue, it had a copyright little plaque thing that showed it was named, it was made by the A.C. Reberger Company out of Chicago in 1929. So I thought it was a pretty neat looking statue. Don't you think that would be worth giving a shot in a Huggins and Scott auction, Bill? If she thought down the road they'd probably end up selling it.
Yeah, no, I mean, granted it's a shame that it has a couple of little flaws in it, but still, being that, the fact that, like you said, it's dated, you know, that's a very key thing.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Old, I don't know what it would sell for, but I'd be willing to give it a try.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see what it did. Old and being Walter Johnson, those, you know, those are definite pluses. There's not a lot of that stuff of him laying around out there, that's for sure. Now, also in the Huggins and Scott October-November auction, bidding begins on Halloween and goes through November 10th. Lots of stuff being put up every day, lots of new stuff. I noticed there was a 1953 Topps Willie Mays card graded PSA 5 with a $400 minimum bid. I've always kind of considered Mike Trout as this generation's Willie Mays, so I saw that card and I thought, it seems to me Mays stuff is almost a little undervalued from the 50s, and I decided to look up some stats and see some things and kind of compare it to Mike Trout. And I didn't realize this. At the age of 40, Mays hit .271 with 18 homers, 61 RBIs, but he had a .425 on-base percentage that year and had 23 stolen bases. At the age of 40, that was a surprise to me. I mean, I knew he stole bases, but I never considered him that big of a base stealer. And especially at the age of 40, he was still, and I remember him being bad in the World Series right at the end of his career, but I didn't realize he was still doing that well even at 40. And then his 162 game average over 22 seasons was .302. With 36 homers, 103 RBIs, 112 runs, 18 steals, .384 on base percentage, and a .156 OPS plus. Mike Trout in only 6 seasons. Okay, his average is .306 to .302 for Mays, 34 homer average to .36 for Mays, 99 RBIs to .103, 120 runs to .120. 29 steals to 18, .405 on base percentage, and a .170 OPS plus. I could see if Trout ends up playing 20 years, like, you know, or over 20 like Mays did, I would think their averages would be really close. They're both were really good defensive center fielders too. Kind of interesting to do those type of comparisons when you look at the regular old stats and then you look at some of the newer stats too to see how they compare.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that's fabulous that he's off to that kind of a start. And, gosh, I mean, to be compared in any sentence to Willie Mays is about as big of a compliment as you can get.
And Trout has actually started at a younger age than Mays did. Mays had to miss 1 year, I think, when he was 22 maybe, for service, too, which, you know, hurts his lifetime stats. But, I mean, Trout's off to a great start. You just never know how healthy they can stay through their career. When you look at what Griffey was doing up until the time he was 30, I mean, he looked like he was going to break all the power records. And then he started getting all the injuries. His body kind of broke down on him. So you never know what the future holds, but Mike Trout is sure on pace to be one of the all-time greats without a doubt. So that was kind of interesting. And then some other things in the Huggins and Scott October-November auction. a lot of different things. It's not all just baseball items that are for sale. For instance, there's a Winston Churchill signed cabinet photo, $1,500 minimum bid on that in a frame display. I don't think I've ever seen a Winston Churchill autograph sell, but $1,500 minimum bid, it looks like they go for some good bucks.
Yeah, I don't know that we've had a Winston Churchill in the past.
You don't see him. He must not have signed a lot. You know, he looked a little like Alfred Hitchcock when you see the picture of him, like in the photo. I think he had some of the same, I guess you would say, away from work characteristics of Alfred Hitchcock too, with the womenizing and some of that type stuff. So similar characters in some ways, but that'll be interesting to see what that goes for. There's a Ron Santo 1969-72 game used bat with a PSA DNA grade of 10 and a $1,500 minimum bid on that. So it'll be interesting to see what that does. Now, a PSA DNA 10 grade, is that something unusual or is that fairly common on an older bat, Bill?
Oh, no. On older bats, that's very, very uncommon because there's lots of little factors that go into that that they will not give it a 10. But whereas a lot of the newer bats, if they can virtually document the whole history of when this thing was made, where it was delivered, and all the use and everything, you get more 10s on the newer stuff than you do the older stuff.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. So that'll be interesting to see what that does. Santo finally making the Hall of Fame, too. It was kind of a pity he made it after he had passed away, but he did make the Hall of Fame. So that always helps in the values. Now, it's time for a short break. The number's 312-332-3776. You can give us a call with a question about the value of an item. We're on 7 to 8 every Sunday morning, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Can be sports, pop culture, or political items, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might go for. And we're giving away to one caller or tweeter a Chris Bryant bobblehead. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan. Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery couldn't make it today, but Bill Huggins from Huggins and Scott Auctions is on with me. And Eric Ostrowski is here to take your calls, answer your calls. If you have questions about the value of your collectibles, you still have time to get in. 312-332-3776 is the number. We're giving away a Chris Bryant bobblehead to one caller. If we use one of your, if you sent a picture of an item to T Crown Tom as my Twitter ID to my attention, and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing also. And, Bill, I don't know if you ever do splits at Huggins and Scott at your retail store there outside of Washington, D.C., but I do them quite often at Triple Crown in Naperville. And I had a tale of two shields this week, Bill. We had a split, and one of my regular customers pulled a one-of-one shield with a piece of an NHL shield autographed card from Ultimate Hockey of Steve Yzerman, saying his stuff goes pretty good. We're figuring that one's probably maybe worth in the $1,000 to $1,500 range, a one-of-one shield autograph card. That same day, in another split, I get a James Shields autograph, which I figure is valued a good dollar, maybe less.
At our store in Maryland, we have what's called Box Break Wednesday, and it's sort of a special thing we do at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, and our store's open until 7:30. Anybody in the store at 6 o'clock gets a free entry, and we into a box break, and we pick a box. We just break it, and we get between 15 and 20 people in there that they get a free entry into the drawing, and we provide the box and everything.
That's a good idea.
I'll be honest with you, and more often than not, the house sometimes ends up with the best card or something because nobody picked that team, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's how you do it. I see. All right. Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll have to try that.
I'll tell you what, we put a sign up, and you'd be surprised how many people will go out of their way to be there at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's kind of fun, too, doing stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And then sometimes afterward, two or three of the guys will get together and do their own little, they'll buy a box and do their own little box break thing or something.
Oh, you know? Yeah. We do that almost every Saturday around 11:30 at Triple Crown in Naperville, where we'll pick out some of the products and add them all up and split them and put all the hits out. And the first guy pays more and he gets the first pick and you go from there. It's kind of fun. Or we'll do the randomizer. Vince's new nickname, the randomizer. Well, we got some callers waiting here. Let's get to Bob from Rensselaer, Indiana. What's new, Bob? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you. I'm wondering if you have any idea what an original copy of World War II surrender papers would be worth.
Well, first off, wow. How did you get those?
I don't have it personally, but I know of the gentleman from my hometown who was there. And an officer handed him this copy and said, secure this. And nobody ever asked for it back, and he put it in his duffel bag, and he was in the Navy. And he's had it ever since, and then he had it professionally framed and donated it to the local American Legion. And they were just wondering what to insure it for.
Oh, my gosh. Are they going to auction it to raise funds for the American Legion?
I don't believe
Legion?
So. I think they got it on a permanent display in their nice display case. And like I said, it's professionally framed.
Wow.
We're guessing that there might only be maybe 20 of those in the world.
Who all signed that?
Everybody from MacArthur, all the Japanese. I actually just got home from Hawaii and was on the Missouri, and they had all the pictures of the admirals, the generals, the Japanese representatives, and all there, and the Allied, captains, whatever your title is. And there's probably, I want to say, 10 signatures on it.
Okay.
Of all the dignitaries that signed.
That could be a fabulous item as far as value. This was the surrender in the Pacific.
Excuse me?
I see. This was the surrender in the Pacific, not in Europe.
No, it was in Tokyo. Tokyo Bay.
USS
Missouri.
Wow. That's something. Can you even give an estimate of that? I mean, that I would imagine none of those copies have ever sold. But what would you think, Bill, just from your experience?
I don't know that thousands. I don't know how many thousands.
Yeah.
It would be interesting. Somebody would have to do a little bit of research to see if there has been any of those that have been sold or offered for sale over the years, or even put up for public auction.
I'll tell you what, Bob, if you can somehow get me a picture of that, I'd love to tweet it so then our listeners could see it. That sounds really cool.
And send it to you at your T-Crown Sports?
You can either email it to tcrowntom@gmail.com or you tweet, if you're on Twitter, you can tweet a picture of it to @tcrowntom is my Twitter ID, and then I'll tweet it. But either way, I'd love to see it for one thing, and then just put on there that it's okay for me to tweet it, and then I'll tweet a picture of it and we'll mention it again on the show. I mean, that's awesome. And if they ever do decide that they need to raise funds and they want to sell it, Bill, you'd be happy to auction that, correct?
Oh, that'd be a feature item. I can't imagine the type of interest we would get in that, especially if they're, I don't know if they were copies or if they're all live signatures.
No, I was told that it's an original copy.
Wow.
By the gentleman who got it from an officer.
Wow.
He didn't tell anybody he had it for 30 years. He's afraid he'd get arrested.
Yeah, right.
Well, there may be some legalities in that. You'd have to
look into it. Yeah. Too. Wow.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the man's 90 years old now. I mean, he was in World War II, obviously. But I saw it when the guy went to the Legion and asked him about it, and they showed me the picture, you know, just said, well, there it is hanging. And I wouldn't have recognized it had I not just been in Hawaii and saw the original papers are on the Missouri.
Wow.
And it was incredible.
That is something. That's really neat. Yeah, if you can somehow get me a picture, I'd love to see it myself and then tweet it so the listeners could see it too. Really neat, Bob. And next on the line, we have Joe from the Northwest Side. What's new, Joe? What do you have?
Well, kind of small next to that.
Yeah, but, it's hard to top that.
it sure is. I just have one item I have is it's a Brett Favre photograph of when he's it's from the Super Bowl against the Patriots when he's calling the audible right before for his first touchdown pass, and it's signed by him.
Okay, it's an 8x10.
Yeah.
Okay, and in a frame. What do you think, Bill? Maybe 75 to 100 on that for Favre?
Yeah, somewhere in that range. He's doing a lot of signings these days in his free time, so he's kind of available.
Yeah,
but that's sort of a unique little piece. I hadn't seen that one before. So
I wonder if Yurko ever sold his Packers Favre game worn jersey. It'd be interesting to find that out. That'd be Favre stuff's starting to pick up on that type stuff. He seems to be back in good graces with the Packers now. Be interesting to see what one of those would do in an auction now, wouldn't it, Bill? All right, we've got Bob from Chicago on the line. What do you have there, Bob?
Yeah, just a quick question. My father passed away a couple of years ago. He had a bunch of sports memorabilia. One of them I came across I thought was rather uncommon. It was a signed baseball by Joe Walsh from the Eagles and Vita Blue. Just wondering what those two are doing together one night, and if you have ever heard of any of these being
Joe Walsh, the musician Joe Walsh?
Correct.
Oh, wow. That's, and Vita Blue, the pitcher.
Yeah.
That would be good to have the story of how that came about. So you don't know how they ended up both signing that ball then?
Not a clue. Yeah. Not a clue.
I don't think you'd have a ton of value to it, but it's a definite conversation piece. You know, around midnight at a bar.
right. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Very cool. I mean, very good. Maybe $50 if they're authenticated, but it's more a good conversation piece.
Exactly. Okay. Thanks. Okay. I appreciate it.
Sure thing. And we have Bill from Chicago's on the line. What do you have there, Bill?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good.
Good. I have a Muhammad Ali autographed boxing glove. It's a clean signature, so it's before his... You know, obviously his issues occurred, but it's autographed, it's authenticated. Just kind of curious how much it's worth.
It's an Everlast glove?
Yes.
And just one glove?
Just one glove, yes.
And it's not fight worn or anything, you know, or fight used?
No, not used, no. It's just a nice clean glove.
Yeah, Bill, what do you think those are going for now?
I want to say, depending on the style of signature, whether it's, Bill, I don't know, is it where it's Muhammad and Ali underneath it or Muhammad with Ali next to it?
It's next to it, I believe.
Okay, that's more of the later autographs. I mean, I still think those in nice, clean condition and authenticated are bringing, $500 to $800.
$500 to $800? Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, if it was the older ones, those are bringing $1,000 to $2,000, the older signatures.
Would definitely be worth putting in a Huggins and Scott auction. Wouldn't you take that by itself, Bill? Or just a signed glove sometime in the future if you ever wanted to? Yeah. Very neat.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Also, and I like stuff like this. And he has so much cool stuff. Like, this was something interesting. You had a lot of 6 signed dollar bills as a lot. And listen to this crew in here. It's Eddie Arcaro and Willie Shoemaker, so 2 jockeys, Joe Frazier, George Blanda, and then Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, all signed dollar bills in the lot. That'll be interesting to see what that does. I like unusual stuff like that.
Oh, sure. Those are dollar autographed money is a very big collectible.
I remember one time, didn't you have one where it was on an old dollar bill, and wasn't it signed by, like, what was it, Ed Sullivan and Babe Ruth or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, when you think about it, if you meet an athlete or some famous person, everybody's probably got a dollar in their pocket.
Yeah. It's actually a good item to get signed. And especially, you know, if they did a long time ago, they have it on an old bill, that looks cool, too. It's just kind of neat. And also now in the upcoming Huggins and Scott auction, there's all kinds of things. There's a 1952 Topps Andy Pafko PSA 6 of a card number 1 with a $400 minimum bid. That's one of those cards that a lot of them weren't in very good shape. So a 6 is nice, but And that's going to go for some good bucks, but you get higher grades from that. They start going for some astounding dollars on that.
Oh, yeah. You get to a 7 or an 8. Yeah, you're into the cha-ching, you know.
Oh, boy, that's for sure. Now, and if anybody happens to be sitting out there with a 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle that's in really nice shape, that one you want to get auctioned right now. Just the PSA 7s are selling for like over $200,000 now. We had that guy who came in from to Triple Crown from the Bloomington Normal area, and he had two of them, and he thought it was too expensive to get them graded. I asked him how nice they were. He said, "Oh, probably a 6 and a 7." I told him how much they're going for. He's like, "Oh, I think I better get those graded." Hopefully, he comes back. I hope he listens. Comes back. You know, if nothing else, put the lower grade or the higher grade in an auction. Keep one of them and auction one of them. Bill, that'd be fun in a Huggins and Scott auction, one of those sevens.
Yeah.
Oliver from Chicago's on the line. What do you have there, Oliver?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Actually, I have a signed Michael Jordan baseball. I got it from my mom a couple years back. She got it at an auction, and I always had it. I didn't know what the value of it might possibly be.
Do you know if that's Upper Deck authenticated, or how did you come across that?
I believe it is, and it does have a certificate of authenticity with it that I do still have.
Yeah, so that's good. I haven't looked at one of those recently, but I think they're in the $500-$600 range. Have you noticed any of those recently, Bill, that have sold?
No, but you're about right. I mean, the thing is, getting those authenticated, there's a lot of, when we've submitted a lot of Jordan baseballs to JSA, and boy, I'll tell you, way over 50% of them fail.
Yeah, and Upper Deck, you know, it's
you've
good.
Got the right, yeah, if you've got the right authentication, Oliver, that's a good item.
Now, Bill, if Oliver decided to do that as an auction, is that something that you'd want to try?
Oh, sure, 100%, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so if you ever want to send that in, Oliver, you could bring it into Triple Crown in Naperville, and we'd get it set up for you.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call. We're already at the end of the show here. I can't believe this. And I've got to do the randomizer here.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Let's see. I've got the list on here. Whoever comes up first on the randomizer wins. The winner is Bob from Rensselaer, Indiana. Okay, Bob, what you have to do is email Vince at ERC Delivery by Thursday and get the details to him, and he'll deliver it free of charge. His company will deliver it to you, ERC Delivery. So email Vince at ercdelivery.com. Don't forget to check out the HugginsandScott.com website. Things are being updated every day on there. The auction goes from October 31st to November 10th. Hang in for Jeff Miller and Fantasy Football.